For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as the 16th President, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And boy, are we seeing this concern play out, Abigail, right?
I mean, I feel like every week we say we're watching this play out. But listeners, we really are.
We are watching
the philosophy literally play out on the streets, in the news, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And to discuss that, we are welcoming back Catherine Kirsten, who is going to take us on a deep dive into the ethnic studies, which we have discussed before. But what we're going to talk about is, again, how is this playing out right here, right now, mm-hmm. in our state? So Catherine, again, is an attorney and a senior policy fellow and a director at the Center for the American Experiment. Catherine, thank you for joining us again.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Catherine. And one of the things that we discussed last week, and we would encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that podcast with Catherine Kirsten from just this last week. But one of the things we discussed is the fact that these ethnic or these social studies standards are still before an administrative law judge. And we would encourage people, is it still okay for them to write in to the administrative law judge, or is that completely closed at this point?
It was closed as of November 29th.
Okay.
The judge is expected to deliver his ruling or opinion on the social studies standards in early January.
Okay. All right. So that sounds good. It's been a long time coming. As I said, we've had you on the show for many times for the last several years as we've watched this play out. So we do hope that your testimony and others will have been enough to help the administrative law judge understand that the procedures have not been followed correctly, and that this is a massive shift from what we know to be solid social studies standards like what we have right now. So let's shift the gears to this ethnic studies, strand. We know that that was added to the social studies standards, in addition to civics and economics and history. And so these teachers are supposed to cover all this material. But as we watch this play out, Bill Walsh, who's one of your peers at the Center of the American Experiment, wrote an article called "Wake Up, Hamas Apologists Sound Just Like Minnesota Ethnic Studies Activists."
Correct.
Do you want to talk about that as to, what did he really mean by that? Where was he seeing the parallels?
Well, the words that the protesters essentially supporting Hamas and mm-hmm. what it is doing in the Middle East were words that most Americans had never heard and were surprised to hear them when these protests began you know, after October 7th. Mm-hmm. But those of us at Center of the American Experiment, or anybody who'd read the proposed Minnesota Social Studies Standards, was very familiar with these words. Mm-hmm. And they're words like decolonization, mm-hmm. settler colonialism, dispossession, resistance. The mm-hmm. the protesters who were, you know, apologizing for, that is, defending mm-hmm. what Hamas has done in Israel, they embrace a theory called decolonization, and it's a Marxist kind of influence theory that divides people into two groups. In, you know, everybody across the world, you're either an oppressor or you're a victim, mm-hmm. and they look at Israel and classify all Israelis as oppressors and Palestinians as victims, and the idea is that the Israelis were settlers who deserve essentially whatever they get. There are many protesters who you know specifically said this. They deserve to die because they were settlers on Palestinian land, and of course, you know, there's a gross misreading of what's happening there. But our social studies standards in Minnesota are littered with these words and this concept, and the whole notion of decolonization in the context of Native Americans. So the claim is that Minnesota is an illegitimate state, just as Israel supposedly is, and that all of us who came here as descendants of Europeans are living on stolen land. It should be given to Indians, and essentially, you know, whatever happens to make that happen is fine, given the evil nature of white Minnesotans today, not white, people of all races.
Yeah. You know? Isn't that, I mean, when you stop and consider that, you know, there's no possible way to even reasonably do that, even if that was a legitimate request or a legitimate cause. You know, this is the way history has worked for centuries, dating back to Greco-Roman times. You know, people groups come and they go and they conquer and they and you know, what if we went all the way back? Let's go all the way back to the very beginning, and that's what's is that what's right? You know, when these people talk about these things, they're really not being very logical, because at what point in history are we trying to go back to? What's fair?
Yeah. You know? But I think the common theme that, you know, we discussed last show on this topic and that we're seeing over and over, and I do really want, okay, I know who you are. You are emptying your dishwasher right now, listener, and you know who I'm talking to here. I know, because I hear from them. And so just remember this, as we're going into all of these details and things that feel maybe a little bit overwhelming because, oh my gosh, someone just almost broke a lamp while you're trying to listen to this podcast. Thanks for hanging with us. But the main thing to take away from this is the theme that people are not using real facts. You don't hear in any of this dialogue, in any of these standards, you don't hear, we are encouraging students to truly understand history. And history, I got to tell you guys, history is complicated. Mm. People are complicated. They are not all good and all bad. And anyone that's lived any amount of time knows that. So the theme that rages through all of this is rage. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have actual facts. You do not need to speak in nuance. You do not need to be able to be held accountable to what you're actually calling for. Instead, just yell louder. And that's what I see over and over and over. So parents, as we're talking about how all of this is played out, just understand that that's the underlying tone underneath all of this. Mm-hmm. Is they're teaching students, you don't have to actually know stuff. You just have to yell louder and basically throw a temper tantrum.
Well, and as Catherine pointed out, you have to resist. And that is a standard. That is one of the standards in
resistance.
Resistance. So that is exactly right. And when you add that to the fact that we're not teaching history like we used to. So they don't even, many of these individuals who are marching may not have even had anything about Nazi Germany mm-hmm. taught to them. I mean, I cannot believe how many young people on some of these really well-known college campuses, when you see people yeah. go around and interview them, they don't even know who we fought in the Revolutionary War, much less anything about, you know.
Or what century it took place.
Or what century it took place. Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, who is George Washington? What is the Bill of Rights? And they, yeah. if they haven't been taught, it's really easy for them to just spout opinions then and not have any clue as to whether they're accurate or not. They're just resisting. They're doing what they were taught. They're resisting.
Yes. They're extremely easy to manipulate. They're young, uninformed, and they can yeah. be fired up. Instead of teaching them how to read, it's much more entertaining, right, and exciting to be told that you're morally superior to everybody who's lived in the past. But to add to Abigail's point, it's so true that facts are completely dismissed as mm-hmm. unimportant. But at the bottom of this is the idea that these people do not believe in truth or objectivity at all. Mm-hmm. So if you read the so-called SONAR, which stands for Statement of Need and Reasonableness, that the Minnesota Department of Education was required to submit in defense of the social studies standards mm-hmm. before the administrative law judge, you will see that they believe that history is constructed. It is a narrative that depends on the skin color of the person who is doing the so-called thinking about history. So there is no underlying truth about what has actually happened. It's, you know, it depends. If you're Asian, well, then you'll have this narrative. It's usually based on stories and oral interpretations, not on facts, not on, you know, historical research. If you're Black, you'll have this perspective. If you're white, of course, you'll have the white supremacist colonializer construct. That's your narrative. So when you follow this to logical end, democracy isn't possible, because there can't be a meeting of the minds, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way to persuade, as Abigail was saying, your opponents on the other side of the aisle, because you it's your skin color that mm-hmm. determines, or your sex or whatever, mm-hmm. that determines the narrative you embrace. So it really is nihilistic, in meaning nothing. There's an abyss of nothingness
yeah.
behind this view of what it is to be a human person, and extremely destructive.
Well, it is destructive, and that's one of the things I wish we could ask some of these activists is, what is your end game? You know, what do you really want to see happen?
But they've said, at least in this situation, from the river to the sea.
Yes.
Palestine will be free.
Yes.
And I would love to ask them, so what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Do you understand what that means?
Yes. Yeah.
You are calling for the annihilation of every Israeli on the face of the planet.
Well, and the legislator who said, oh, I think most people who are saying that don't really mean the destruction of Israel.
Well, so let me tell you about that, because this is a very good illustration of what Abigail just mm-hmm. said. So the people who wrote our social studies standards, the Minnesota Ethnic Studies Coalition members who packed the committee that drafted them by their own acknowledgement, they through this group called EdLib Minnesota, which created them, mm-hmm. they issued a call for a student, the National Student Walkout for Gaza on October 17th. And in it, they included an organizing toolkit for students that lays out exactly how to organize one of these protests. Here's the timeline you should follow. Here's what you should say to the media. Here are templates for protest signs and chants that you should use. And one of the chants is, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means from the Jordan River to the mm-hmm. Mediterranean, Israel will be wiped off the map. Mm-hmm. They had signs for kids. These are the people who wrote our standards. They had signs for the kids to copy. One of them says, "Decolonize Palestine." And it's got a picture of a woman with a mask on, and she is hurling a rock, and there's a burning police car and flames all around her. So this is what they are telling our high school students. Yeah,
they're training them into, like, to actually advocate for terrorism, really. I mean, that's a terroristic act.
What's resistance, right?
Yeah.
So what happened at Edina High School was that a week later, now who knows why, but the Edina High School students, or a number of them, walked out, protesting for Hamas and Gaza. And they were, the school actually did take some sort of action against several of them. And according to things the kids posted, they claimed that they didn't know what this chant from the river to the sea meant. and one of my friends said, they should have been given a geography quiz. How many of these kids could even put Israel on the map, much less Gaza?
Right.
But they're being manipulated by savvy activists to... to fall into line in this way.
Well, and this is the problem with not being taught how to think. You know, when they're not being given the tools to learn how to think on their own, they are easily manipulated. And that is the biggest problem with our American education system today, is that students aren't given logic courses anymore. They're not being given the ability, the opportunity to analyze and to synthesize and go deep with information and have that historical, rich historical background, which is what a classical education provides for students.
Yes.
And it's so important for students to be taught how to think, because otherwise they are easily manipulated. And, you know, I'm sure that that's probably true, that a lot of them didn't understand what it really meant. And they just knew, okay, I'm just supposed to resist. And so here I am resisting. And the Ed Lib Minnesota, they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yes. In fact, the guy who heads it, Brian Lozinski, who's a professor at McAllister College, describes himself as an expert in, what does he call it, like a critical participatory, research or something like that.
So what does that mean? Professional sign holder at protests? Seriously.
It means organizing. It means, for example, this organizing toolkit that was sent around to all these kids. It describes the chants. It lists about 10 of them. And then it says, now you need to practice the chant. You need to pick a chant leader, pick somebody who would be good at that, and then practice with your friends.
You're kidding me.
No, these people know exactly what they're doing. It's really like the Red Guards in the Cultural Revolution in China.
Yeah.
Because the high school kids, the same thing was done to them, and they were told what, great moral warriors they were, and then they went through and devastated, Chinese or communist China until finally Mao had to stop them. So,
And I don't want to go too far down this path, but we've had Z Van Fleet on, or Van Fleet.
There we go. Got it.
And she lived through Mao's Cultural Revolution, and she is so concerned. She lives here in America now and has for a long time, and she is so concerned about what she is seeing. And we've had her on to talk about the parallels of what we're seeing in the public schools here and in the college and universities, and even in, a lot of our big corporations. And the parallels with what was happening during Mao's revolution, and how it does start with the children, and separating children from parents, not physically, but emotionally. And teaching kids that their parents are evil and wrong, and that, they need to be thinking this new way. And this is what we see is happening, as our students are being taught ideas that are contrary to what most of their parents believe, regardless of which side of the aisle they're on.
Correct.
And this is where you really run into problems down the road. And we're starting to see the fruit of that, as you're pointing out. If we, and then didn't you say, before we even launched our show today, I think you mentioned that there was a second walkout at Edina High School.
Edina. Yeah, and there the kids were told in the information circulated to them that they should bring these keffiyehs, these Arab headdresses. They should cover their faces with those. That you know, it was important that essentially their identity not be. Be evident. You know, the police had to help with exit from the school when parents came to pick kids up. Mm. This is exactly what our social studies standards are going to be encouraging at high schools all over the state, because this is what resistance looks like.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for me to imagine what is going to happen in this state if this continues, if these social studies standards truly do become the next set of standards, which I believe would be implemented in fall of 2025. Is that correct?
Not this year, but the year after.
Yeah, 2025.
Yes, 25, 26.
Right. So what we're going to be starting to see is, like you say, a lot more of this. And how does a country function? And, you know, I think that is ultimately the goal of some of these instigators of, you know, for EdLib Minnesota and others like it. Their goal is to have complete disruption. And then what happens? Look what happened in China. Look what happened in Venezuela. Yep. Look what has happened even to a certain extent in Brazil. I mean, we really have to, as Americans, pay attention to what is being taught and how that impacts not just your own child, but all of the rest of the children in the school and all the rest of the children across the country. And how do we, even if you pull your kids out of this and get them into a safe school environment, whether that be through a private school or your homeschooling or whatever, you know, we still have the bulk of the kids in this country being educated in the public education system, which at one point was the envy of the world. And now here we are. And when are people going to really stand up? I mean, we see some parents standing up at school board meetings. We see great organization, you know, Parents Alliance Minnesota, trying to help parents win seats on school board elections. But we need to see really a huge groundswell of response to all of this, don't we, Catherine?
Yes, we do. And in terms of the political upheaval you talked about, as I said, Brian Lozinski, who is essentially the leader of EdLib Minnesota and has a national role with the National Corollary Group, has written, he wrote back in 2020, he wrote about the mass insurrections or uprising after George Floyd. And he said that schools need only reopen after COVID if they join the social unrest. And the true danger in the country, which is systemic racism.
Wow.
I mean, he sees the function of education as creating social upheaval. And he is the one of the primary consultants to the St. Paul School District and their ethnic studies program. And, he also wants to see, is calling for ethnic studies licensure for teachers. So the idea right now is, you know, social studies teachers can teach, quote, ethnic studies in the standards now, but these people want to see a special licensure required so people who agree with them, not just the ordinary social studies teacher, but only people who agree with them will be licensed to teach ethnic studies, which will be embedded through all of our standards.
Which then, if you think about it, parents, even if you are clinging to the last vestiges of hope that maybe if you can impact your school board, that you can turn the ship around. And I did, during our break, I did actually check Education for Liberation in Minnesota's website. Guys, they're saying it right up front. You can find it.
Yeah.
I found it. I think I clicked my phone 5 times and I found it.
Yeah.
So they're not hiding the ball here. If it's a requirement that, it has to be this teacher, this licensed ethnic studies teacher, you're not going to be able to turn that ship around.
Mm-hmm.
So just realize that.
And
they're closing in on all of the different options we have to try to have a voice in our local schools. Mm-hmm. They are systematically closing those off.
Yep. And not to mention just the new teacher licensure rules in and of themselves, even if they weren't successful gaining this special licensure for ethnic studies, the new teacher licensure rules, which are going mm-hmm. into effect in 2025, all of this is embedded in those new teacher licensure rules. So they codify a lot of this into the teaching in every subject. This doesn't even just apply to social studies. It applies to science. It applies to math. It applies to
arts. PE.
Yes, everything.
Oh, yeah.
And
so I think it's important for people to understand why we are going through this. And we are going through it because of the people we have elected to state government. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that the teachers' unions generally are, you know, the leadership, not me, the individual teacher, but the teachers' union leadership seems to be in favor of this kind of thing across the country. But who appointed the Social Studies Standards Committee that drafted these standards? It's, you know, the head of our Department of Education. It was appointed by our governor. Mm-hmm. And it was the legislature that passed all this ethnic studies, all these laws that Abigail is talking about. We wouldn't have this if people understood that this is, it's important to elect the right people.
And I am so glad you're bringing that up, Catherine, because I do think that that is a huge disconnect for people. They might be opposed to these things in their schools, but The during election season, the candidates that vote for this kind of thing come off as moderates. I'm a family
precisely.
Man. I mean, Governor Walz is brilliant at doing that. I'm a family man. I'm from out in the country, and I was a football coach, and I was a teacher, and you know, I love people, and I want the best for these kids and these students, and people get wooed by just the personality, the whatever they don't realize the connection. And we really do need to hammer that point that who we vote for matters. And if you're voting for someone who supports the very things that you don't like in the schools, you need to change your vote. And, you know, I mean, that just seems so basic, but I think it's really hard to change. You know, if you grew up in the state of Minnesota where, you know, we've got the Democratic Farm Labor Party, it's known for, you know, supporting the working class and the down and out. And yet now it has become so far extreme to the left. And it's hard for people to vote differently, but I think we really have to encourage people to do your research and find out where do your candidates really stand on these issues. You can't just go by what they say, unfortunately. Like, you know, I'm for the kids, I'm for the schools. You have to really look into what do they believe in terms of how are they going to vote.
In a fairly sophisticated way, kind of as you're suggesting, Rebecca, because that many of these people who support this know that the average parent would not like to see this kind of thing invading the school. That's why they talk about ethnic studies as being all about unifying cultural understanding and belonging and inclusivity and equity. And they use all these words that sound really good.
Yep, they sound good, but they know, but they're not. They are not. Well, Catherine, thank you again for joining us these last 2 weeks. We've been grateful to have you on. We wish you a Merry Christmas, and our listeners can listen to this podcast at savetheclassroom.com or Spotify or iTunes. And then check out the Center of the American Experiment at americanexperiment.org. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.